Tonight, I've got a little short devotional again, hopefully encouraging for you. I got encouraged writing it up, studying it, and the Lord put something on my heart and said, this will be good for the people tonight. So let's see, eh? Anyhow, I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2. The title of my message is, We Shall Be as Mount Zion. Wow. We shall be as Mount Zion. Psalm 125 verses 1 and 2 says, They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this for us, eh? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us your word in a book that we can open up and read, Lord, each day. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit helps us to understand the things that you want to say to us, Lord. So we pray tonight, Lord, as we look at this short passage of Scripture in your word, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to each one, Lord, where we're at, Lord. As you broke the bread and gave it to the people, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be able to break your word to us tonight, Lord, to each person as they have need, Lord. So we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this faithful group of people. Pray for your blessing upon each one, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. With regard to our psalm tonight, the Christian who wants to be confident that he or she is eternally safe in the Lord Jesus Christ can be assured of this certainty from Romans chapter 8. Which begins with the promise of no condemnation by God and ends with the promise of no separation from God. Let's read and see what the Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write for the benefit of us. Amen. Upon whom the ends of the age have literally come. We're going to read Romans 8 verses 1 and Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and verses 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. And then verses 38 and 39. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 8 clearly states to us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is the qualification, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? No condemnation. If you're walking after the flesh, look out. But if you're walking after the Spirit, there is now therefore no condemnation, all right, from God. Skipping down to verse 38 and 39, we read that the just as encouraging statement from the Lord, which says, For I am persuaded, Paul wrote this, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor neither height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen? You young people need to get that in your head. You've got a ways to go. All right? There is now, therefore, nothing can separate us from the love of God. All right? If you're walking with God in obedience, amen, God will bless you. During the Old Testament era, the Israelites could find similar consolation and comfort, in the Psalm 125 in verse 1, which we read as our opening scripture tonight. God assures the people where he says, They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. God's holy city, Jerusalem, and the temple is situated on the solid foundation of Mount Zion. Amen. We've just read God's clear announcement that Mount Zion cannot be removed, not by anyone. And that it will abide forever. Alright? Mount Zion cannot be removed. It will abide forever. Now, I want to just give a bit of an illustration here. If there's going to be any moving of mountains around the world, it's not going to be man, it's going to be God. In the Old Testament, Zion is used as the name of the city of Jerusalem. In Isaiah 40 and verse 9, God says, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, Zion, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 12, don't worry about turning these, I'll just read them out, but for time's sake. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 12, Zion refers to the land of Judah, where we read, "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and for the herd. And their soul shall be watered, a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more." In Zechariah chapter 9, verses 12 and 13, Zion refers to the nation of Israel as a whole. It says, "Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up my sons, O Zion." All right, he's talking about the nation of Israel there. The word Zion is also used in Scripture in a spiritual sense. And in the Old Testament, Zion refers figuratively to Israel as the people of God. Isaiah 60 and verse 14 says, "The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee." The enemies, all right? The enemies of Zion. "And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." In the New Testament, Zion refers to God's spiritual kingdom. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23 declares, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." Verse 23, "To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Peter, quoting Isaiah 28:16, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of Zion. In 1 Peter 2:6 he wrote, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Mountains are stable and immovable. And as I said, unless God is involved in some way, like with an earthquake or a volcano, the mountain does not move. It is anchored in solid rock. A Christian who trusts in the Lord is likened to a mountain, not because we are solid rock in and of ourselves, but because by faith we have been anchored to the eternal God, who is our rock and our unmovable mountain. Now, I wanted to talk about mountains being moved, you see. I was involved in mining in my younger day. And I went and got a job out at Mount Newman, right? Mount Newman, and there was a mountain out there which we were digging at. It's full of iron ore. This is back in the 70s, 75 or 74, 1974. I went there. They'd been digging at it for about maybe 6-7 years. It was a mountain about the same size as that mountain out the back of Cairns here. All right. I lived in the caravan park about 14 kilometres away, and I could see it. This big mountain. That thing's gone. Today it's a hole in the ground. Now, I've got in 2013, which is like, how long, 6 years ago, the pit, not the mountain, the pit is 1.5 kilometres wide. Right? It's 5 kilometres long, and they believe that around now it's about half a kilometre deep. I drove around on that mountain. I worked on that mountain. And it's not even there. And when I read the scripture, it said, man can't move mountains. Well, he does move one. He moved that one. But it took him a long time. God can move it like that. Amen? God can move mountains. Man, if he's going to move a mountain, and not a very big one, but it was a huge mountain like this thing out the back here, since the 1975 or 74 when I was over there, that thing is now a hole in the ground. I couldn't believe it. And you know, I worked with a team of blokes. This was my job. We were on the cable crew. I went over there to drive the big trucks and they wouldn't let me. But anyhow, and I was an experienced driver of those big Wabco haul packs. But anyhow, they put me on the cable team and our job was to move the face shovels out of the road of the blast when they blasted the mountain. Alright? And the team of blokes that I was with, about 6 or 8 blokes, or a dozen blokes, we used to get around on that hill, and that's all we used to do. Shift the machinery out of the road of the blast, and everyone else cleared out from that hill. They took off from the work site down below. they went for miles away from there, and then they blasted the thing. And that whole mountain shook, eh? We were sitting on the thing. But that's puny to what God can do. God can just go, and that mountain can be gone. Amen? So, I was surprised when I looked at, somebody showed me a picture of Mount Wildbuck. Hang on, it's a hole in the ground now. Big mountain's gone. But it took a long time for man to do that, like a mob of ants running over it 24/7 for, you know, 30, 40 years. That thing's disappeared. Anyhow, let's move on. So mountains are immovable, except by God, unless God is involved in some way. Man can do it, but did it effort, eh? And he did it for profit too. Only because he was paid. Yeah. Anyhow, 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul exhorts us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Immovable. Amen? Be steadfast, like a mountain. God reminds us in Hebrews 6:17 and 17 to 19, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hey, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The hope and security that we possess in our God is total. We can have confidence in our security and our hope in God. Total security, alright? We are totally protected on every side. What did we read in our opening scripture? Verse 2 of Psalm 125 assures us, as the mountains are around about Jerusalem, physically, so the Lord is around about his people from henceforth, even forever. Around his people. Hey, are we his people? He's talking to us. He's talking to us. Jerusalem, God's holy city, is surrounded by mountains. And in like manner, God totally surrounds those who trust in him. He provides protection on every side. Nothing can reach us unless it is permitted by our Heavenly Father. As we go through each day, we can remember that according to God's own word, we are surrounded by him. Amen? Even in New Guinea. Amen? Especially in New Guinea. If you're serving God, God will protect you, alright? We are protected by the Almighty God himself. For how long does God promise that he will surround us with his protection? In verse 1 of Psalm 125, God tells us that it is forever. In verse 2, God tells us that it is from henceforth, even forever. Who is God's promise of divine protection extended to? That's the question. Who is God's promise of divine protection extended to? When we read that psalm, who is he referring to? Who is it that he has told, you shall be as Mount Zion, you cannot be removed, and you will abide forever? Who has he told that? He's told it to us. We Christians who have genuinely believed God and put our trust in him. Amen? Trust for our salvation. And also trust for our preservation, both in this life and in the life that is to come. It says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. That's God's promise. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement to us tonight, Lord, that you've got your hand upon us, Lord, hand of protection. And you tell us, Lord, that we're like Mount Zion.